It's Friday, December 13th, and you're listening to The Threat Matrix. I'm your host, Dan Vertin, FedScoop's cyber and national security reporter. December 17th marks the 9-year anniversary of the signing into law of the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004 by President George W. Bush. It was and continues to be a landmark piece of legislation that has defined the nation's post-9/11 counterterrorism intelligence organization, policies, and procedures. But 2014 will bring more than a new anniversary for the law and its main creation, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Next July, a decade after the release of the 9/11 Commission report, the nation will enter a critical time of reflection on this thing that has become known as the War on Terrorism, and will begin asking tough questions about the future of the U.S. intelligence community. One of the central questions senior policymakers are likely to explore will be the role, responsibilities, authorities, and the success or failure to date of the DNI. It is the office of the DNI, currently occupied by retired Air Force Lieutenant General James Clapper, that was supposed to bring a semblance of order to a sprawling, unmanageable conglomeration of intelligence agencies. But according to several former intelligence experts who were present at the creation of the DNI position, Washington still has not come to grips with what roles, responsibilities, and authorities the Director of National Intelligence should have. Michael Leiter, former director of the National Counterterrorism Center, which was established in 2004 within and under the direction of the DNI office, offered a mixed review of the overall success of the DNI office to date.
How's the DNI doing? And the answer, in my view, is the DNI is doing some things pretty well. Some things that the DNI was supposed to implement likely would have happened naturally, even if you didn't have a DNI, out of the imperative 9/11. You know, basic information sharing is much better at the NCTC. The merger of foreign, domestic, and military is absolutely order of the day. I mean, that's a big deal. The coordination of national intelligence estimates, so we don't have the same failures we had over Iraq. I mean, that is the order of the day. That's a big deal. And then there are lots of pieces that I think, frankly, they're not doing very well. Budget authority is better, but the agencies still absolutely rule their own budgetary roost. It's a relatively weak coordination function. I think that's bad for the American taxpayer, especially going into a period of austerity. I think that's a huge problem. I think some elements of the DNI have been, frankly, almost ineffective. Program Manager for Information Sharing Environment. I will now be disinvited from their Christmas party, but holiday party. But I think they've accomplished very, very little. This is a central recommendation of the 9/11 Commission. A lot of it was happening anyway, but the things on which they focused have not been all that fruitful. So I think it's a very mixed bag.
James Clapper, the current DNI, was among a small number of officials in the Bush administration who advocated in favor of creating a Secretary of Intelligence position that would provide the overseer of the nation's 16 intelligence agencies and nearly $70 billion in purchasing authority with cabinet-level political clout. But according to former Majority Staff Director for the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, Michael Allen, the Defense Department successfully lobbied against a cabinet-level position for intelligence. Allen details some of the behind-the-scenes power plays in a new book, Blinking Red, Crisis and Compromise in American Intelligence After 9/11.
There were different views within the Bush administration on what to do about the 9/11 Commission's recommendations. There was a school of thought to endorse the Commission's recommendations, which President Bush essentially did 10 days after the Commission put out its recommendation for a Director of National Intelligence separate from the Central Intelligence Agency, and thought to be or recommended to be empowered with new authorities to manage the intelligence community as an enterprise. The book also tries to detail the different views, including the what I call the Department of Defense view, led by Vice President Cheney and Secretary Rumsfeld, who very strongly argued against endorsing the 9/11 Commission's recommendations. I quote from the book one of Secretary Rumsfeld's famous snowflakes, which I found, that he wrote a memo to President Bush saying, and you could almost hear the sarcasm in his voice, that said, essentially, the media, the Congress, and John Kerry can afford to be wrong, and there is no penalty. The President of the United States must be right on something of this importance, and he urged upon President Bush caution. ended the memo with just one word: caution. A second school of thought was the Central Intelligence Agency. They believed that the essence of bureaucratic power in Washington was having authority and direction and control over troops, either analysts or operators, and that they argued that severing the community management functions, which had been vested with the Director of Central Intelligence at Langley, from the CIA was a mistake because the center would be weaker and the DNI, the resulting DNI, would be weaker than had been the DCI when he also at least controlled the Central Intelligence Agency. And finally, an interesting school of thought came from two people we now know to be the DNI and the future CIA director, Generals Clapper and Hayden. While they ran NSA and NGA at the time, both dissented from the 9/11 Commission view and endorsed what we can sort of shorthand as a Secretary of Intelligence model, where they would recommend, where they actually did recommend, much to Secretary Rumsfeld's consternation, actually moving those two intelligence factories and others out of the Department of Defense and directly under the authority, direction, and control of a Director of National Intelligence. They argued that without that bureaucratic heft, the DNI would be bound to have a frustrating mission.
But according to Philip Zelikow, the former executive director of the 9/11 Commission, even programmatic power may not be enough for a DNI to succeed. And just maybe, in some weird way, the Snowden espionage case may in the end help to strengthen the role of the DNI.
I think actually the intelligence establishment is a very difficult establishment to manage. It's a very difficult establishment to manage in the best case. I've been trying to understand this establishment for decades. I am very humble about my own understanding of exactly who does what and what's going on. I don't mean this in the sense that there are all these rogue outlaw entities running around out there violating the laws. Just it's the sheer scale and complexity and compartmentation of the enterprise simply almost defies managerial comprehension. And then there are various, there are all sorts of pathologies that are springing up about that. What? We're spying on Angela Merkel? What? We some of the things we said in the about the detention and interrogation program run by CIA turn out actually not to be true when examined by outsiders. And so on and so on. I think in the NSA episode, I think we will find, I will be very surprised if we find any important illegality. I think actually we will find more likely to find a policy void in which they're doing things that are legal because when they say, here's what's prohibited, what is not prohibited is permitted. And you have an agency that's, well, there's quite a lot that's permitted. And we have powerful capabilities. And we're interested in just about everything.
This has been The Threat Matrix. I'm Dan Verton. Thanks for listening.